much, Miss Elizabeth Farmer, for the special, and thank you, Ensemble, and all of the work that's gone into today to make the service possible. And our pianist, Miss Kim, thank you so much for each of you. And we're so glad that you've joined us once again. And if you are listening to us on the radio again, you joined us recently, just to announce that this is Pastor Herdman at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, right here in Gray, Tennessee. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're with us on the radio, and it's a joy to have you be with us. Well, I was thinking, of course, what to preach, and celebrating the triumphal entry of Christ, and then getting ready for the events leading up to the resurrection. And of course, next week we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Christ. And but then also with all that's going on in our nation and our world, then you also think about how to deal with problems when they come. And so it seemed like the Lord led me, as I was in my study this week, just to preach to you a message from 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20, and of course I challenge you again to be meditating upon the passages of the resurrection this week and the triumphal entry, and do a study of those things. But as we look this morning, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. While you're finding your place there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I did hear this story about these couple of rednecks. And Bubba and Leroy, and so they were arguing back and forth as they always did, and Bubba told his buddy, he said, "You know what? Someone divorced that wife of mine." And Leroy said, "Well, I don't know if she should do that." He said, "Well, she's your mother, your children, and she's this, and she's this." He said, "Yeah, but I still think I'm going to do it." And Leroy said, "Why would you do that?" And Bubba said, "Well, you know, she hadn't spoke to me in 3 weeks." Leroy looked back and said, "Ooh, you might want to give that a long, long thought. Hard to find a woman like that." He said, "My wife talks to me all the time." So just to be thinking, let you get a little relax there, and I know that you're laughing at home. I know that's funnier than the folks in this auditorium, the few of them that are here, let me know about, but we'll forgive them for that. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, verse number 5, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, and in the house of the Lord before the new court." Jehoshaphat here is having some problems, and we'll cover those just in a little bit. Verse 6, "And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the earth of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." I want to preach for a little while this morning about this, and that's Jehoshaphat's stand. Because Jehoshaphat is going to come to a place where he realizes he's got to get to God, because there's enemies coming from different sources or from different ways. And you see, the scripture says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." This is in verse number 3 that we didn't read. "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David." Joshua was one of the good kings, we would call him. He certainly didn't do everything right, but he was one that tried to lead the nation in the right direction. He wasn't unlike a lot of our leaders today that got themselves in trouble found themselves in trouble and in desperate need. I think about our nation today, where we're praying for our president, praying for our leadership, praying for folks that are in decision-making capacities, that they might find the right thing to do, and we're asking for God's wisdom. Jehoshaphat is that way as well. You see, in verse number 1, if you've got your Bible open there, you'll see that problems surround Jehoshaphat. "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab," the enemies, "the children of Ammon," more enemies, "and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." And so he's got more enemies than he can count. He's got more enemies than he cares to deal with. As the old, some of you old timers saying, if it weren't for bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. He had a lot going on. Sometimes you hear about Murphy's Law, meaning that if anything can go wrong, it does go wrong. Some people feel like Murphy moved in their spare bedroom and he's just always around the house. You've got problems that surround you. I heard of a man that went to the doctor. The doctor wasn't necessarily a religious man, but as he was telling this fellow, he said, "Well, I don't think there's anything else I can do." He said, "I think all you can do," he knew he went to church, "all you can do is pray." The fellow looked back and said, "Oh no, it hasn't come to that, has it?" Sometimes we realize there's nothing else that we can do because problem after problem. And so problems surround Jehoshaphat in verse number 1. But then verse number 2, it just adds to the problems. Then after those things happened in verse number 1, there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria, and behold." And so it goes on to say more and more and more problems. So first of all, we see that problems surround him in verse number 1. But that, as if that wasn't enough, there were more problems came in verse number 2. Have you ever felt like that? Ever felt like it just seems like you can't have one problem get out of the way, but what the next one comes barging in? It doesn't seem like one thing breaks, it costs an expense at your house, but what another thing breaks and causes another expense at your house? Sometimes we get to a place where we're afraid for somebody to tell us something because it just seems like we're on a roll, and the roll is a negative roll, a bad one. You remember John the Baptist, Jesus said about him, there wasn't any other greater born among men. But he had problem after problem moving in on him. Finally, eventually, he's beheaded just for telling the truth of what God had said. And you understand that just because we get into problems doesn't mean that we're doing wrong. It could just mean that problems are stacking up on us. Sometimes like a log jam going up the river, all of them can't get through at once. But I showed you that the problem surrounded Jehoshaphat, and then number 2, the problem just kept on coming. But then I see this next beautiful thing in verse 3, if your Bible is still open. It caused Jehoshaphat to go to God. Look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Friend, I wonder if you've ever done that. Have you ever set yourself to seek the Lord? You say, "I don't know what in the world's going on. I don't know what problems are besetting me. I mean, I see Him, I know Him, but I don't know what's behind Him all." Maybe you'd be like Jehoshaphat in verse 3 there, where you should set yourself, set His face, your face, Himself, to seek the Lord. The Bible goes on to say, and He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. That problem that you have, or that problem that we have, that problem that's going on in your life or my life or your family or my home, might be exactly the best thing that's ever happened to us if I allow it to point me to the Lord. That health issue that's going on in your life, that problem that's going on in some family issues, some things happening that you don't care for, if it causes us to look up and say, "Lord, I need You," and prior to that, we weren't looking up to the Lord and saying, "We need Him," then that problem might have been exactly what I needed to get me to look up to the Almighty. As we get started in this message today, I see those couple of things. But I want you to look at Jehoshaphat's prayer. And we see it in verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere right through there. We're going to look at the prayer that he offers up to God. He says in verse number 3, he proclaimed a fast, he sought the Lord, he gathered them together in verse number 4, and then we see in verse number 5 that he stood in the congregation in the house of the Lord before the new court. Verse 6, and he said, he says in verse number 6, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not Thou God in heaven?" I give you this first point. Number 1, we see that Jehoshaphat acknowledges and admits to himself and to God and everybody listening that God is all-powerful. Look at the beauty in this verse, would you? You look in verse number 6. He says, "Art Thou not God in heaven?" That's for sure. "Are You not the God of our fathers?" Certainly He is. "Art Thou not the one that rulest not Thou over all the kingdoms? None is able to withstand Thee." Through the difficulties and the problems that Jehoshaphat finds himself in, he's reminded to look up. As I jokingly told you, the fellow that went to the doctor and said, "Has it come to that?" Listen, folks, sometime or another, if this isn't it, maybe sometime soon, we're going to have to get to a place in our life where we realize that it's all God, and I've got to rely on Him. All of the little programs and the problems and the schemes that I can come up with, they're coming up short. All the answers to the problems are wrong if I give them. All of the solutions are nil and none of effect. But when we get to a place where we come to the Lord, as Jehoshaphat did, and the enemy's on this side, and the enemy's on on that side, and I just caught wind from some of my advisors, there are some enemies from over there as well. At that point, we called a fast. And at that point, we said, oh God, I need You. And you and I in our lives, we need to get to a place where Jehoshaphat was and where Jehoshaphat said in verse number 6, oh Lord God of our fathers, rulest Thou not over all the kingdoms? Meaning that wherever these problems are coming from, God, even if they're God deniers, even if they're God haters, even if they don't like You nor us or anybody else that's a halfway decent, Lord, You still rule over them. And that problem is facing you in your life. I'm not saying that God sent it your way, because God doesn't tempt men, the Bible says, but God did authorize whatever is coming in our lives. The issues that are happening in our nation right now, the Lord has allowed these things. You say, well, how could God do this? I can promise you this, God will be with us through whatever comes our way, because we are serving the God of all gods. Through difficulties and problems, we're reminded just who we're seeking. Call unto Me, God says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We understand that the difficulties that we find ourselves in and the solutions that we get the blessings of getting to put forth, all the good things, the Bible says, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above. All of those things are the Lord's workings. I think it's funny sometimes when people will say me as a pastor through different things, well, pastor, you did good at this. Or you at your job say, well, you did good about this. Listen, my friend, if we're following the Lord and we're asking God to lead us and guide us, those solutions that we come up with, if we happen to stumble on a good one, thank the Lord for it. But it's when we seek the Lord that He gives us wisdom, heavenly wisdom. We will seek for Him and find Him. We will find Him, and when we seek for Him with all of our heart, it's all God and very little us. You heard that story before about the rooster that was up on the elephant's back as they were coming across the swinging bridge. And because that elephant, boom, 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 every time he would step down, that bridge would swing and sway. And then we got to the other side of that bridge. The rooster said to the elephant, did you feel that thing shake as we came across? Now you understand the rooster didn't do much of the shaking. He just happened to be along for the ride when the elephant was shaking the daylights out of that. And you and me, my friend, when we get to be involved in the work of God, when God allows you to raise your children or your grandchildren or do some things at work or help lead a church or whatever it is, and we look back at it and we say, wow, look at what happened. We ought to be very wise to say, look what God did. There's been several cases in Scripture where people took credit for what God did, and God doesn't look favorably on that. I see, number one, that God is all-powerful. Verse number 6. I read a story this week in preparation for this message early in the early part of last century, the early 1900s. There was a fellow that had a car, and very odd in his community. Most folks were still in that particular community. They were still in horse and buggies or horses, but the car broke down. He was under the hood trying to, on those old Fords, and trying to figure out what it was, and finally, another fella came, which was also rare, in a car, and he hopped out and said, hey, you having trouble? And as we often would say, no, I've just got the hood up for fun. But he didn't say that. That's a joke. But he did actually stop by. Is he having trouble? Yes. And so the fellow looked in there, assessed it for just a couple minutes, and then told the fellow whose car was broke down, try it now. And it started right up. He cranked it up, and he said, how did you know what it was? Nobody knew cars back then. It wasn't like now where everybody's got them. How did you know cars? How did you know so quickly, and how did you fix it? And he said, I forgot to introduce myself. And this true story, he said, I'm Henry Ford. He said, I built it. I know what it takes to make it run. And I think, friend, how foolish we sometimes are. We fret and worry and wring our hands and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what this problem, I don't know this financial problem, this health problem, this relationship issue, or whatever it is in our life, I don't know what I'm going to do. How about we find the Henry Ford of all creation? We find God Almighty, the Creator, the Sustainer. And we ask Him, says, Lord, as Jehoshaphat did, are not Thou God in heaven? Are not Thou the one that rulest over all the kingdoms? There's none that's able to withstand Thee. Our God is able. I give you number one in Jehoshaphat's prayer that he says God is all-powerful. Not only that, look in verse number 7 if you would. God's also the one that gave past victories. Are not Thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before Thy people Israel? and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? One of the most important parts of your prayer time and my prayer time ought to be reminding myself of what God's already done. I try to spend time every day just not asking yet. I'm not yet asking God for anything. That comes later. But just reminding myself of what God's already done. Reminding myself the victories that God has already brought to pass in my life. Reminding myself how the last time I was in an issue like I'm in right now, God was faithful. And what Jehoshaphat says in his prayer is, "Oh God, aren't you the one?" And he knew he was, of course. This is his prayer. "Aren't you the one who didst drive out the inhabitants, God? You're the one that pushed the enemies out of here. God, you're the one that gave the victory. You're the one that pushed the difficulties out of our way. God, you allowed us to come on through. And God, I believe you're going to do it this time." Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church started in the late 1700s. It's been through many troubles and many difficulties and many trials and tribulations and all that. Who gave the victory for all those things? It wasn't their good pastors, although they've had a bunch of them. It was God. God is the one that gives victories. "I will lift up mine eyes," the Scripture says, "unto the hills from whence cometh my help." My help cometh from the wisdom of other people, from the good consultation that I got from some other good pastor or father. My help cometh from the Lord. I see not only did he say that God was all-powerful, but he also reminds himself and those listening that God's the one that gave past victories. Who is it the one that's walked with us through the valleys? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Who is it that never would leave us alone in the dark time? The Scripture says, Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Who's ready to help when we cry unto him? "I will call unto me," the Scripture says, "and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." He's the God that gave us past victories. And then I finish up with verse 8 and 9. It's this God that we pray to. "And they dwelt therein," verse 8, "and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword or judgment, some pestilence, some famine, all these things, listen, we stand before this house and more importantly in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help." The subject is settled. God, you're the all-powerful one. God, you're the one that's given victory time and time again. God, you're the one that's ran out the inhabitants before us so we could live here. So God, it's you that we pray to. God, we built a sanctuary for your name. In a real sense, this auditorium that I'm standing in was built to proclaim the Word of God. Not built to proclaim man's opinions, not built for social gatherings, but built to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We stand before thee, the Scripture says in the Old Testament as Jehoshaphat is praying, we stand before thee in thy house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in affliction. Jehoshaphat, what was in his prayer? Well, first of all, he got it figured out who God was. God's the all-powerful one. Secondly, he reminded himself of what the all-powerful one had already done. And then thirdly, he settled for all once and for all, God, you're the one we're going to pray to. And so in this uncertain time that we find ourselves, or in the difficulties you're finding yourself in today in life, you ought to be like Jehoshaphat and say, "Lord, we're going to come into your presence. Lord, we're going to come into your presence because you're the God that we can pray to." You sometimes see on television or videos, you'll see these taste tests. They'll have different kind of Cokes there, and they'll have Coke, and they'll have Pepsi, and they'll have some generic brand and whatever, and they'll try to get you to choose which one you thought was the best. Now, it doesn't matter to me whether you like one, the other, or none of them. I don't know which result's going to come in that you love the best and which one is going to say this is the winner of the taste test, but I can tell you the results are in about God. There are no other gods all other gods except the God of the Bible are false gods. And we find ourselves, as Jehoshaphat prayed, said, Lord, You're the one. God, You're the one. You're the one that did this, and You're the one that did the other. And God, we're praying to You. Jehoshaphat looked at the past. Jehoshaphat looked at the present. He looked at the past and see what God already did. He looked at the present to see who God was. And then the only logical conclusion that he could come to was, You're the God that I'm going to pray to. And friend, I can tell you this, that the times haven't changed since then. Oh, lots of stuff in the world has changed, but there's still a God in heaven that's keeping this world that we stand on today spinning. There's a God in heaven that wasn't surprised when we went to social distancing. There was a God in heaven that wasn't surprised when all the world was saying, where'd all this come from? There's a God in heaven that hasn't been surprised by one event. Curtis Hudson used to say, did ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He knows the beginning from the end. It's all, He's outside of time and He sees it all. God's the one we need to be seeking today. I take you back there to verse number 9. Doesn't this almost sound like present day language? If when evil cometh upon us, that could be said about now. As the sword, that means some physical danger. Judgment, maybe even some things that folks rightfully are holding us in account for. Or pestilence, or famine. What happens? We stand before this house. And in Thy presence, for Thy name is in this house, and cry unto Thee in our affliction. You say, do you think I should pray and talk to God just because I'm in trouble? God loves it. Well, shouldn't I have done it when things were good? Yes, but you didn't, so let's start now. Look at the end of the verse. And Thou will hear and help. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's our God. He's an ever-present help in trouble. Folks, we live in a crazy, uncertain world. And today I'd be sure that I'm putting my faith and my hope and my trust and my reliance in the God who never changes. If you're watching today and you know you're saved, then I challenge you to put your feet firmly where you're at and say, Lord, my faith won't be shaken. My fears won't overcome my faith. Dear Lord, I'm going to trust in You through whatever's going on in my life. And if you're with us this morning, maybe a church member, maybe not, maybe this is the first time you've tuned in, but you're not sure that you're saved. But there's enough going on in this world that makes you think, I better get something straight. You are exactly right. This morning, can I just share with you that there's a great problem that every one of us have. The Bible says all of us are sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory that God had intended for us. And because of our sin, we've sinned, yes, against one another, but more dangerous than that, we've sinned against a holy God. The Bible says all of us have. And since we're sinners, the Bible says we deserve to be separated from God for all of eternity in a wicked place called hell. But my friend, that's where our Savior, Jesus Christ, which we celebrate next Sunday morning, the fact that He rose again. Well, all Easter is all about this. He came for a purpose to die on the cross, came to this world to die on the cross to pay for John Herdman's sins, pay for your sins, everybody's sin. The Bible says the sins of the whole world. And He paid for our sins because the reason that's important is because it was those sins that were separating us from God. We were living condemned. And Jesus came and died on the cross for us. Paid for your sin debt, paid for my sin debt. And because He paid for the sins of the world, then now it's available to us salvation, forgiveness. And all a person has to do, the Scripture says, is call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him for forgiveness of their sins, and put their faith in Him as their Savior. So as I told you about this Old Testament king, Jehoshaphat, When he found himself in trouble, he knew where to go, to God. And if you're this morning listening, and you know you're in trouble because you're unsaved, my friend, you need to go to God. Jesus Christ, God the Son of God, came to die on the cross for your sins so that you could have your sins forgiven. And when your sins are forgiven, then when your life is over, the Bible says you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord forever and ever. And those sins are remembered against you no more. So whether you're a person that's a child of God, you're saved this morning, you need to plant those feet and say, Lord, the world is shaking around me, but you're not shaking. We need to trust Him in faith that we can count on Him, believe on Him. As Jehoshaphat said, when thou will hear and help, believe our God. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, then I challenge you right there where you are that you believe Jesus Christ was that Son of God, God the Son, that came to the earth, was crucified on the cross, stayed buried for 3 days, yet rose again in victory over death, hell, and the grave for your sins and for my sins. And I challenge you to put your faith in Him. Whatever your need is, would you take a lesson from Jehoshaphat's stand and his prayer? Remember, God's all-powerful. Remember, God's the one who gave the past victories in your life. God's the one that we're lifting our prayers to. Why? Because He can do something about it. You say, can't I pray to anything? You can. To a tree, to a statue, to anything else. But just because you pray to something doesn't make them have the power to do anything about that. My friend, let's look to God, the Creator God, the all-powerful one, because as Jehoshaphat found, then thou will hear and help. Would you bow your heads together with me as we close and we pray? Our pianist is going to come and play a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, there where you are, friend, have you been letting the problems of this world overcome you? Have you been letting them have too much control over your thoughts and your mental state? I challenge you to, friend, pray. Let's seek the Lord, shall we? Let's seek the Lord because He will hear and He will help. If you're here and you're saved, wouldn't you tell the Lord something like this? Dear Lord, forgive me. I've been fretting and worrying and I need to be trusting in You. Christian friend, wouldn't you look to the Lord? Oh, I'm all for being cautious and careful. Yes, be vigilant. Yes, do that. But let's remember that God can work in our situations and wants to. And now as you're listening this morning, if you're one that's unsaved, you know about Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard about Him for years, or perhaps you just heard about Him when I was preaching this morning. But you've got a weight on you right now this morning that you feel the pressure that if something happened to you, you hate to think of where you'd go. My friend, this morning I reiterate what I already said, that Christ came to this earth to die for your sins. Died on the cross for you and for me. And if you want that weight relieved and you want those sins forgiven, there's only one person that can do that. It's not me. It's not any other man that you'll meet on this earth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And right there where you are, if you would like to put your faith in Jesus Christ, I challenge you to listen to this verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That means you need to trust, rely, depend on Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you do that today? There's somebody standing by listening for a telephone call. Our phone number is 423 477-3311. 423-477-3311. Somebody would love to pray with you right now if you'd like to pray. If you'd like to call, I should say, and have somebody deal with you. You can also email us a prayer request if it's not one that needs dealt with right now. prayer@brbc.us. That's prayer@brbc.us. If you're watching on live stream, it's on your screen right now. Would you call, email if you need any prayer help? But whatever your need is, would you go to God? Jehoshaphat, when problems came, he knew exactly where to go. Enemies were from all sorts surrounding areas. And what does he do? He doesn't get the armor yet. He doesn't get the soldiers lined up. He proclaims a fast. He goes to God. He prays and reminds himself and asks God to be a help. Couldn't we come to God like that today? Trust Him in faith. Let's close in prayer together. Father, what a joy it is to remember that we are Yours. Thank You, Lord, for dealing with us. Help us to look to Thee, I pray, and we'll be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to remind you, as before we end the broadcast today, I want to remind you of our online giving. Thank you so much for all of you that have undoubtedly already taken advantage of that. And I challenge you to get familiar with that this afternoon. I ask you to pray for us. Pray for the leadership here at the church, that we'd make good, wise decisions following the Lord, asking His blessings and His help in all that goes on. And please stay in communication with us. Call us, email us, and we'd certainly love to be connected with you. Be praying for the Susong family tomorrow as we'll have that funeral in the morning, and let's be lifting them up in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel Wakefield, our assistant pastor, to come and pray and ask the Lord just to bless our day and close us in prayer.
Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us as a church to have this service this morning. Lord, thank you for the message. Lord, I pray you'd help us always in our lives to trust in you. Lord, to put our faith in you and the situations that we face. And before we do anything else, to come to you, Lord, in prayer, remembering what you've done, remembering that you remain the same as you were in the past, as you've helped us in the times in our lives. You can help us today. Lord, I pray for our nation, that you'd guide us. Lord, give the leadership of our country wisdom, and Lord, the leadership of this church. And Lord, I pray that you would turn all of these situations to the good, as we know that you can and you desire to work all things together for good. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives, work in our nation, and Lord, work in this day. Bless the afternoon, Lord. I pray that you would help everyone to have a good afternoon and then gather back around their devices so they can tune in and watch the service this evening. Bless that as well. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.